welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I'm in a mood, forgive me. And this radio program is being recorded and distributed for March the 14th, 2021. And we're going to talk about life. What is life? What life? Here you are in the midst of this thing called life. And do you know what it's all about? Do you know what you're doing here? Is this what it's all about? What is the this? There's all sorts of questions that people have about life. So I would like to offer to you maybe a little insight. But before we do, everybody has this thing about life. They're not into the reality of it. They're into the philosophy that they have developed about it. The average person merely observes their life or thinks they know what life is based and predicated on their perceptions, on their genetic biases. So one person looks at life from one direction, another person looks at life from another direction. They both come to an assumption, and they can be, you know, together on that assumption or apart on that assumption. Everybody has some idea as to what life is all about. And everybody wonders if they're right. Deep inside, they wonder. And I understand that. So people sometimes go to church or they read philosophical books or they get religious or scientific. They go all sorts of different directions. And I think it's very difficult for the average person who is not particularly interested in life per se, not terribly interested, but understands that here they are in the swimming pool and they have to learn to swim and they have to understand what swimming is and to be good at it, but for what? And I think that some of the questions that I have for you today that were sent to me over the past 6 months really depict the kind of mental acuity and acumen a person might have for understanding life and the meaning of it. So I hope that this little broadcast helps you a little bit. I'm not here to add to the philosophy of your life. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't want you to adopt my teachings here. I want you to have your own direct experience, and that's what I'm here to do. I do this with my students. I do this at retreats. You have to find out for yourself what it's all about. I will show you how to, but you must learn how to come to a place where life can flow in you, and I can't make you do that. So I'm going to give you techniques, insights a little bit here, as I would if I were teaching a workshop or something, which I just did, or I will be doing, or whatever. So the first question comes from Leslie. Leslie lives in California. How does life work? I am confused. Leslie, I don't really know what you mean by how does life work. I wish you had given me a little more explanation. I'm going to be a real jerk here and assume I know. I may be wrong about this, so forgive me if I am. How does life work? Life exists, and there are certain principles and laws, as they would say, that pertain to the state of our life and what we're here for and what this is really all about. It is learning how to balance the survival mechanism of our DNA, etc., with the spiritual awareness one can have through living, and then to transcend that living into the state of life that indwells us all. But to do that, I have to be very much interested in love, as not an emotion, but as a state of being, a state of kindness, a state of compassion, a state of mercy. And I can only witness life from consciousness, not from my literal mindedness. Now, I have a literal mindedness in me as a Gregory. And I look at Gregory as the Gregory. He is a product of my mother and father's careless sexual activities, I think. And then the next thing I know, here I am. But the whole deal is I'm here as, shall we say, a function and a purpose that both worked with my father and mother and now works with myself. I have to see my place in this world. The hardest thing for people to do, Leslie, is to find their place in this world. Everybody wants a much higher seat at the table of life. And so the whole operation of living goes into how hard I work, how my notoriety, my getting accolades, my reputation, things like that. This is what people thrive on. And they don't really understand what they're here for and what this whole livingness thing is all about. So we miss a great deal. We miss what it is to understand our place in life. So let me give you how life works a little bit. And I think what you're saying is, oh, I hope I'm right. Why am I here? How does this all pertain to me as a person? And what am I supposed to be doing here? I think that's what you mean. I hope I'm right on that. I'm going to assume that. So here's the deal. We're here to transcend. We're here to live in this body, to accept where we find ourselves, as Lao Tzu said in the Tao, and to understand the nature of both the human and the divine, and then to make a choice. Now, how we live in the middle way, not too human, not too much with the passion and the reason and the logic and the desire and the ambition and the pride, how we walk that line in this world, not too far to the emotional left, not too far to the mental right, things like that. I'm just giving you terms that I've just made up. As you learn to walk that line and walk it diligently, carefully, slowly, with awareness, you start to develop a sense of consciousness. In that consciousness, you do live in a dynamic of love, a dynamic of love that is different than the human love that most of us seem to cherish in this world. This walking the path, or walking that fine line, that middle road, really is one of the most important things you will ever learn in your life. And if there is anything we're here to learn, if there's anything we're here to accomplish, if there is a skill that we are here to master, it is walking the middle path, the middle road. In doing so and keeping our discipline in it, we start to awaken certain qualities within us, some that are called consciousness. It is only in consciousness that you can awaken and realize, really awaken and really realize what is true from what is false. Buddha talked about it, that which is, that which isn't. The ability to see my illusion and my delusion apart from my consciousness, apart from what I think life should be or what I believe life should be. Now, I don't know, Leslie, what you call life. You know what I mean? I don't know if you think life is what you experience or whether or not life is something other than what you experience. Life is your luck, people would say. Misfortune or fortune, things like that. I don't buy any of that. Everything is based in karma. My karma dictates my life experiences, and I can look at them from the point of view of defeat, or I can look at them as a point of victory, which would be stupid too. I can look at them as literal, or I can look at them beyond the literal. I can look at them as this was a pattern I set forth into motion in many past lives, and I am simply living out that pattern, living as if I knew what I was doing. None of us know what we're doing until we have come to consciousness. Until then, it is a questioning game. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. People will say to me, what should I do here? What should I do there? And you're asking me, how does life work? I don't know what your means to the end is. I don't understand what you're really looking for. I am only assuming here. Life simply functions in a certain order, and everything is returning, Leslie, to source. Everything about life, if you notice, keeps returning back to the source of life. So if you're diligent in yourself and you're willing to see how life goes back to source over and over and over again, you will start to have a different perspective about your livingness, and a bigger picture will ensue. And that will be a lovely and wonderful thing for you. Honestly, it is. So there's my answer. Life works, and I must learn to blend with it, and I must blend with it, function with it, become one with it, be in harmony with it. You've got to first discover what life is. It's return to source. So many more things. I got to go. I've got two more questions. Thank you, Leslie, for your beautiful, beautiful question. I hope I interpreted it right. And if I didn't, forgive me. And if I did, forgive me. Namaste. All right. Here is another one from Johnson. Now, I don't know if that's his first name or last name. Anyway, he asked me that. He doesn't tell me where he lives. Is life what we know of it God's plan? Johnson. Johnson, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking to myself, everybody thinks they have a plan. Everybody thinks that this whole thing is about a plan. You must be going to church or something. That there is a plan. God has a plan for you. And he pulls it out of his computer or whatever he dictates it on. And he goes, wow, there's Johnson down there. And he lives wherever he lives. And this is my plan for him. Based on what? Based on what? What? Well, you know how Johnson is. Da, 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 da. So this is what he deserves. And you always hear that word deserve, because that's the one that really strikes a chord with people. What do you deserve? Well, that's silliness all in and of itself. Deserve? What makes you think this is a matter of deserving? Do you think there are more deserving people than yourself, or less deserving people than yourself? And what would constitute that? What? Your behavior? What you believe in, what you don't believe in, what would constitute your deservingness? Oh, this is all assumption. And is life God's plan? You're asking me, is life God's plan? God does not exist as a man. And if you were really to read Genesis in an objective way, you would understand that it's a metaphor. It is not to be taken literally. It is not about, and ladies, you know, if you read Genesis, you should be furious, just furious at God, this God that you talk about, because you are just God's second little idea. You're there to appease a man because he can't live alone, because he's got man, disease, you know, he can't be alone. This is just way over his pay grade. So the whole religion thing is so silly. I can't even get into it, and I don't even bother to. If you're into religion, then this is all way beyond your pay grade, and you just have to live it out the way you live it out until you just can't do it anymore. But the kind of logic and reasoning that people apply to their daily life is not the kind of logic and reasoning they apply to their religious or their literal life in the sense of what God is doing. God, there is no plan for you, Johnson. I'm telling you, none. Your plan was laid out by you. Your life was laid out by you. You're the one that made this all happen. Whatever it is that is about you, whatever that means, whatever a Johnson is, whatever is his acuity, mental, emotional, psychological acuity, whatever is his understanding, his acumen, his ability to understand, whatever is your karma, what you brought into this lifetime. And even if you don't believe in that and say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, well, then don't. But how do you explain everything that's happening to you? Is it luck? Is it chance? And is it God? And if it is God, why don't you ask God? And how come God never answers? You know, you look at... I'll never forget as a kid listening Bill Cosby talk about Noah and the Ark, you know? And that whole thing, it was so well done. And God didn't answer, and he didn't have a manual for all of the animals, and they were reproducing, and God was walking away laughing. It's all true. It's silly. The whole idea of God having a plan for you and that makes up your life is rather narcissistic, in my opinion. Like, like that's what it's all about. Life is love. Life is a principle of love. And as I said to the previous questioner, Lori, that it has to do with Leslie, I'm sorry, has to do with returning to source. And when you and I return to source, when we understand that everything that emits from us is an effort to go back to love, to immerse ourselves in love, then you understand a great deal more than you might believe you understand. And in returning to source, meaning that I have to live in a totally different atmosphere within myself, one that most people simply will not do. That atmosphere is not the one we live in, which is the human one. You live for what you deserve. You do things to deserve better things. When you are no longer engaged in that kind of delusion and illusion, and you start to recognize consciousness through consciousness, what it means to truly live, then you transcend your own life. Then it starts to have gravitas and significance. And then, and only then, is love prevalent to you. Until then, love is something you have to go fetch, you have to go and deserve, something you have to find in another person and bring it home to you, that kind of thing. And as long as I am living in that kind of chaos inside me, I'm going to miss everything that is substantial and meaningful to the course of my existence here on Earth. And, you know, I'll bet you couldn't even follow a word I just said there. I'll bet you dimes and dollars. What did he say? I know. I understand. It can be very, very difficult. We don't even speak the language of life. We speak the language of desire, ambition, pride, vanity, narcissism. We're literal minded. We speak only the language of our genetics. And because I can only hear and think from my genetic disposition, I miss what is substantially meaningful to my life. And that's really all it's about. One day you won't be here anymore, Johnson. You were here at one moment and then you're gone the next. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? That's life. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Bob. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I love my life? It is absolute hell, Bob. From what I gather from your email and what I gather from your question, you're talking about your situation and conditions in your world, your lifetime, your livingness, your daily life, the situations and conditions that exist in your ability to survive or to get what you want, yada, da, yada, da. You're looking at your daily life as hell. Bob, listen to this old man that is speaking to you right now who understands your question deeply. We make our lives hell because we resist what's happening. We do that because we don't have the willingness or the compassion to see the source within us that makes our life hell. We have an idea as to what we should have, again, deserve, and then we build our whole life around that. We are always comparing ourselves to other people. We are missing what it is that this livingness is really all about because we're always looking at what is happening in the outside to us. And we think that life is a matter of living from the outside to the inside when it's really a matter of living from the within to the without. You're always emulating, emitting energetics into this world that formulate into conditions and circumstances. You are here for a specific purpose of recognizing how you live. See how you love, said the Buddha, and what keeps you from the journey. I always go back to that because it's the primer. It is the primer that opens up all things and puts everything in life in order. You start to see from this point of view of see how you love and what keeps you from the journey, the whole nuance and countenance of life. You see the bigger picture of everything. And then you are no longer wondering, how could this happen to me? Because if I see how I love, if I see the dimensions of my love and how narrow it is and how human it is and how emotional it is, how obnoxious my love is, how nauseating it is to expect other people to bow down to what I think love is, and for them to love me back the way I want them to, is simply why our life becomes hell. Your life is hell because not of circumstance, but because of genetics, what you have chosen to live for and live by. And it sounds to me from your email that it's very literal-minded. So if that is the case, then you're going to suffer more because life is not literal. This is all an illusion. Everything I'm seeing, this delusion of Greg and what he is constantly trying to get me to believe life is all about. And when I am no longer interested in the Greg, and I'm no longer interested in the illusion of Greg, and I'm no longer interested in comforting Greg all my life and making him feel good, then something of the other shore can enter into me, and I can do amazing things with my inner life, which I do, and you can do, and it's all there just for you. Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. There's another weekend. See you next weekend. Thank you for your questions. Greg@aspire.org. That's Greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.